Dr. Sheila McGinnis is a double board certified dermatologist and pediatric dermatologist. She is the co-founder of Strike Club. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sheila.
Thank you so much for having me, George. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
So as you mentioned, I am a board certified pediatric dermatologist. So I see, I work at an academic center. I have a busy practice in Minneapolis. I'm a mom to two tween boys. And over the last 4 years, I've had an interesting side journey where I have kind of taken this step into entrepreneurial world with co-founding Strike Club, which is a personal care brand for teen boys.
Excellent. And you're in Minnesota. You said that you were from Canada. I'm not picking up any accents, Sheila.
Oh, maybe that's a good thing, I think. I've been around, you know, so I did some of my residency and my fellowship training at UCSF in San Francisco. So I was there for 4 years, then Boston for 4 years before we moved to Minneapolis. But I will say that the Minneapolis climate, of course, is much more home for me because having lived in Toronto and Edmonton, I'm very used to the cold weather.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, so I'm curious what drew you to medicine and then what drew you not out of it, but also towards entrepreneurship?
So I always knew I wanted to work with kids, and it kind of took me to a pathway through my medical training of, you know, thinking about pediatrics as a specialty. And within my journey in pediatrics, I actually got introduced to this area of pediatric dermatology, and it really fascinated me and kind of prompted me to pursue further training. And that's why I actually ended up in California with a mentor there. So most pediatric dermatologists, being that it's kind of a small and growing subspecialty, we tend to work at academic centers. So I have a busy academic practice focused on, you know, seeing complex children with lots of different types of skin disease, you know, even from common things like eczema and acne, but even like the more complex and severe, like genetic skin disease. And so a lot of the first, I would say, like 7 to 10 years of my career was really spent doing that career building with like research, clinical education. Really, that was my primary focus. And then, you know, 2020 swung around, and in the pandemic, I kind of was interested in maybe doing something new, and I kind of had this little itch. And I was approached by a friend I had met in San Francisco, also a mom, who just told me about her idea for a white space in the market with skincare for boys, something really aimed at boys, because she and my other co-founder were, you know, scouring the aisles at all the different drugstores and Target looking for skincare products that addressed the unique, you know, changing skincare needs that teens have, and in particular boys, and they came up empty. You know, a lot of what's there is really marketed for girls, you know, pink, fruity, scented things, or the medicinal things that I had growing, you know, with acne in the 80s. You know, we still have the Clearasil and the Noxzema and everything out there. So it was just a really interesting time to think about a way to innovate in that area. And of course, as a mom of two tween boys myself, it really resonated with me. And I started to have a bit of an identity crisis. You know, how do I marry these two different parts of my personality and my career? And how do I see myself in a new light? And that was a really kind of interesting journey for me. But I did it. I jumped in, and I was, you know, very frightened at first. You know, what will my colleagues think of me? How will this work in academic medicine if I'm doing something new and very different? But you know what? When you start to see yourself in a new light, you kind of remove those barriers and you realize, like, well, if not me, then who? Like, I can do both things, and hopefully I can do them well.
Yeah. Well, well said. And I also remember Clearasil and Oxy and,
right?
and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's still there.
Which, I looking back, I mean, I can't imagine that was good for my skin. I don't even
a
know if it worked.
It is really harsh, I will tell you that. Yeah.
But it also, I didn't like having zits. I didn't have a problem with acne, but I certainly had zits. And I certainly, yeah, it was grabbing stuff out of my mom's medicine cabinet, not knowing what it was or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm
so
trying to
that's
remember
interesting to
the.
hear your experience because you were kind of boring from mom or boring from sister, that kind of thing. But what about the boys? I feel like so often the young boys are getting left out of this conversation because I don't know, George, if you've been listening to the news at all lately, you've been probably hearing about like the Sephora baby trend and all these young girls, tweens as young as 10, flocking to Sephora, Ulta Beauty, trying to get their hands on this like expensive, really, luxury skincare brands that are formulated for adult skin. So on the one hand, we have the girls who are being targeted, and whether it's by the companies themselves or social media, what they're seeing to do more and to, get into all of this different skincare super early when maybe it's not that appropriate for their skincare needs. And yet we have the boys who maybe don't have enough. And a lot of times as a mom and a doctor, I'm just like, did you wash your face? And sometimes it's hard to get the boys even to do that.
For sure. The answer is no, and I'm probably not going to.
You're right. Oh my gosh. And you have to ask because if you don't, you won't realize that your tweener teen son is actually using shampoo, head to toe, Pantene, all over in the shower because no one has really laid down the lesson for them about hygiene practices early, unless mom or dad sits them down, has the conversation, shows them what to do, tells them what to do, they may not know what to do. So it's our job, as parents and caregivers, to ask and open up a healthy conversation about hygiene practices for our boys too.
I think it would be extremely uncommon for a teenage boy to have any idea what they ought to be doing with their skin. They're just simply aware that they have it. Just speaking for myself and the things that I've come into contact with over the course of my first 40, 45 years on planet Earth, I think it probably took me till I was in my 20s to realize I should be using some kind of a moisturizer, but I didn't have any idea what that was or anything else. So that's. It is a white space or a blue ocean, Sheila.
A blue ocean. I love that. I'm going to use that with my partners. But yes, that is exactly what we saw. And with Strike Club is what we tried to fill. And so using my background with, dermatology and ingredients that work, but yet are really gentle, because a lot of times that teen skin, it's changing so much and it's not quite mature. So you don't want to overdo it with the heavily scented, really harsh things that are on the market right now. But yet we want it to fit easily. And give a nod to the lifestyle factor. Boys are not going to do a 12-step skincare routine. They're just not. But we also don't want to minimize the fact that boys care about their appearance, and 90% of boys will get acne or have another type of skin condition. So we really want to make sure that we are providing them with tools they need that are easy, simple, effective, and not embarrassing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. All right, so you're in this wonderful academic center doing research and meeting with patients, and you do tell your colleagues, "Hey, I'm becoming an entrepreneur, I'm starting a business." How did that go over?
It took me a while to come out and tell people about it, to be honest, because I had spent so much of my career identifying myself and even my personal, identity as an academician. And there's almost, I think, a stigma among physicians who are practicing in medicine that they really shouldn't care about money, or that they shouldn't really partake in things that are, going to potentially lead to wealth or interface with industry. There is a bit of a stigma about that, and I think it's, misplaced because, quite honestly, I believe that more dermatologists who are board certified should be engaged in formulating and creating dermatological skincare brands, because I mean, looking at it from a consumer's point of view, I think I'd much rather have a dermatologist create the skincare lines that have the ability to fight, all the different dermatological illnesses out there, or even just anti-aging, acne, all of that, rather than, someone like a celebrity who doesn't have the same background, but yet their name gets put on it, or they work with a cosmetic chemist to do it. I really think there's an opportunity here for more dermatologists to become more intimately involved with the creativity process, with the formulation, and bringing something to market. I think it would be great if more of us did it.
Yeah, that certainly sounds like it makes sense to me. That sounds very, very common sense, what you've just described. And I have incredible reverence and respect for physicians. I can't imagine myself going to medical school, and therefore I'm super glad that lots of people did. But I'm also surprised to hear your thoughts and perspective on the way some doctors think about money and making money. So I appreciate that. So what's been surprising? What's been the most challenging thing in the actual creation of a business?
One of the things we've learned so much along the way, we've had tons and tons of lessons. One big lesson that we faced was we got too big almost too quickly. We participated in a Target Business Accelerator program. I'm here in Minneapolis, and that's where Target headquarters is. And we were able to pitch our product to Target through this really cool innovation program that they had 4 years ago. And they loved us and they took us in right away. And then right after that, Walmart started knocking down the door. And so we were in Target and Walmart so fast.
Wow.
And I think that it's great. Those are wonderful problems to have. But the financial reality of being a new brand with that type of distribution posed a lot of challenges for us.
One of those good problems that you hear about.
Yes, a good problem. But, you know, leading to making new and different decisions and smarter decisions about brand awareness and getting Amazon up and running. So lots of those kind of business things that, of course, as a medical doctor, I have no background in, but learning on the fly with my talented partners who have much more financial and business background than I do.
Yeah. So 4 years into this, regrets, things you would have done differently.
You know, I think that we would have been perhaps in a slightly better situation if we had have built that brand awareness earlier, you know, maybe stayed on direct to consumer for a little longer. But, you know, honestly, the journey kind of goes like this. It ebbs and flows. And when distributors and stores like Target and Walmart are knocking on your door, you kind of have to respond.
For sure. For sure. All right. So you have the challenge and the opportunity of creating a brand. So that's a whole thing. But then there's just every aspect of it. I guess my question is, how difficult was it to get your product approved to actually be sold?
Well, George, you might be surprised to find that the health and wellness industry is not that regulated by the FDA. And actually, it's something that, as a doctor and a mom, I wish there was more regulation. There are some more rules and regulations coming out about how the FDA can interface with health and beauty. But there's not a lot that the government or the FDA regulate. No. So it really is up to the brand's own integrity of what type of testing that you want to do. And of course, we did all of the testing, third-party testing, independent, you know, hypoallergenicity testing, preservative testing, all of that, you know, was locked down and really, really safe before we ever, you know, started selling to the public.
I am somewhat surprised, but then again, I realized that just not that much surprises me anymore. So looking back, double-edged sword, to all of a sudden get tapped by Target to sell your product. Just amazing. I can't even imagine what that probably felt like. And then you're like, oh my gosh, we have to do all this stuff to make sure that we can actually sell the product. So to a degree, and I'm just guessing, and I don't expect you to know the answer to this question necessarily, but is Target sort of performing that function of saying that this is a good product, where the FDA might do it with the actual medication? Say, we're not going to put your stuff on our shelves unless we know it's high quality.
Yes, of course. I think, you know, companies like Target have high quality ingredient standards, so you can trust, you know, a lot of what is on the shelf in those larger stores. Especially Target has really gone to a lot of effort in terms of its like verification of, are these ingredients clean? What does it mean to be clean? Is it Target clean? Is it environmentally sustainable? So yes, I think that there's a lot of integrity when it comes to brands in like a store like that, for sure. Yeah.
Fair enough. In terms of funding, did you go and raise money? Did you bootstrap?
We did. So we self-funded for the first year with all four of our founders putting in. And then we did a raise with friends and family, which was successful. We had enough then to kind of get moving and distributing. And then we did need additional funding, especially with Walmart. We needed to get some capital. So we did end up securing VC funding 2 years ago.
And how was that whole process?
You know, for us, I actually thought it went fairly well. Of course, we have to pitch to multiple people, and getting that experience under your belt is kind of cool and interesting. But at the end of the day, we found a really great partner, and they've been wonderful with us. And hopefully now here in, you know, maybe a year and a half, we'll be looking for another round.
Nice. Do your boys use the product?
They do. Yes, of course they do. I actually use it myself because, although, you know, the white space is boys and the boy market, you know, having formulated it myself, I know all the ingredients and I know how they work. And yeah, so we're all pretty proud of the product. Yeah.
That's awesome. And your partners, how is the relationship there going? Businesses can be like marriages, partnerships can be tough.
Oh, I think that we've done a great job sticking together. So the four of us, all three of them live in sunny California while I'm here in Minneapolis. And one is a licensed family therapist and a mental health care provider. And that has been such a great, rich history for us with, you know, just talking about boys, talking about hygiene, mental health, and all of that, you know, angle. I think it's been wonderful, the things that she's brought to the table. And then we have my partner, Darcy Rosenblum, who's a marketing guru and worked with brands like Method and Ollie Vitamins in the past. And then Stacey Blackman, who is a serial entrepreneur and sort of the financial whiz behind us. So it's a good merger of four different, you know, completely different backgrounds with people.
Nice. So you are from Canada, you live in Minnesota. Those are stereotypically really nice people. And you seem like a very, very even keel, well-tempered person. Do you ever get pissed off, Sheila? Does stuff get under your skin?
Oh, for sure. Stuff gets under my skin all the time. You know, we talked about, you know, regulation or the lack thereof in the health and wellness. And, you know, in my practice clinically, I see a lot of babies, and I see a lot of babies with bad rashes, like severe eczema and, you know, all kinds of other different things. And so when I look around Target and I'm looking at the products that have been formulated for baby skin, I look and think, oh, you know, there's a lot of work to be done there, because a lot of things that are going into baby products and onto baby skin are things that really shouldn't be. So I'd love to see a little change in that area.
Yeah, fair enough. In terms of the education for, like, what we're talking about, teenage boys did not necessarily receive a lot of education. And I always want to sort of follow that up with, you probably could have told me lots of stuff and I don't know that I would have listened anyway, but how are you approaching that? You're obviously, or perhaps you're not, you're obviously making a high quality product. Have you also thought about providing education?
Yes. And I think that's one thing that with a dermatologist backed and formulated brand that we can offer that others may not be able to, is the education piece. So there's a lot on our website, education wise. And then, you know, really coming at the formulation in a way that speaks to boys, resonates with them, and is easy for them to do. Like we talked about, it's not a 10-step regimen. It's not going to have so many harsh actives or fragrance in it that it will, you know, burn or damage their skin barrier. This is easy. It fits seamlessly into their lifestyle. We have, you know, a wipe that is amazing. It's antimicrobial, of course, because body odor, again, is another thing that boys at this age are dealing with. And so, you know, that's something that can go right into the backpack, bring it to school, wipe down after your game or your gym class. Boom, you're done.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, Sheila, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and where can they learn about and get some of the products from Strike Club?
So Strike Club is on Amazon and our direct-to-consumer site, and the name is spelled S-T-R-Y-K-E, so www.strikeclubwithay.com. And then you can find me on Instagram and TikTok. Another part of this journey has been, you know, broadening my reach in terms of providing education for people on social media, which I never expected to be doing, but here we are. And, you know, honestly, it's been a really, another like really fun and creative aspect to this whole thing for me, because what I've learned through this is that, you know, as a physician and educator, carefully curating the sites like the American Academy of Pediatrics, healthychildren.org website, our own Society of Pediatric Dermatology website. What I've learned in the past 4 years, especially since the pandemic and more people were utilizing social media, is that the families and the parents may not be on the sites that you're curating for them. They may not be accessing or knowing to even access those, you know, resources, but they are on social media. So when I started posting, I really was surprised at the response and realized that there's an unmet need out there for more education in places where our patients and families actually are, and people actually are on social media like 2 hours a day.
It makes all the sense. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Sheila, thank you so much for coming on. If you enjoyed as much as I did, show Sheila your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to strikeclub.com. It's STRYKECLUB.com. And check out all the great resources and information and education. You can find the product on Amazon as well, and as well as Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again, Sheila.
Thank you so much, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.